Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 15th year. This week, the GGB Podcast sits down with Bruce Marotti, CEO at Uplay One, on how the current COVID-19 process has been an unfortunate way to demonstrate the importance of online gaming going forward. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the affiliate marketing site players trust when deciding where to gamble online. For information on how your online or social casino, sports book, or poker room can get involved, visit iGamingPlayer.com.
It cuts right through the heart. It's an unintended consequence of love.
Bruce Marotti has a long history in gaming technology. He's one of the first to develop a unique live dealer platform for iGaming and believes that the current COVID-19 crisis has been a wake-up call for the casino industry. Marotti says iGaming is a different product from land-based gaming and actually enhanced land-based gaming instead of detracting from it. He says casino companies now realize the benefits of iGaming, and once the crisis is over, they need to push for legal online gaming in states and jurisdictions where it currently doesn't exist. He spoke with me from his home in San Diego on April 6th.
Expectations run aground. It's an unintended consequence of love.
Ms. Marotti, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. You know, you posted a few things on LinkedIn the other day about how this is really a watershed moment for the industry in many ways. But on the positive side, it's a watershed moment for online gaming. This is a opportunity for states to really states and casino companies to really get this off the ground. And this would be kind of a bolster against this kind of thing happening in the future. So why don't you start us in on how you envision this is happening for online gaming in this crisis situation.
Okay, Roger, thank you. Pleasure to be here. Hope everybody and yourself are safe, and soon casinos and resorts will open and everybody will be back at work. But what has really happened, and I've been involved in gaming initially as in the online gaming business over 20 years ago. And I have seen a lot of back and forth between different stakeholders going back to year 2001 when Nevada passed a bill legalizing internet gaming, but DOJ immediately put a stop on it. And then nothing happened for almost 10 years, and meanwhile, a lot of offshore casinos and online operators were taking bets from the U.S. And basically at the expense of the casino operators and manufacturers in the U.S. Until in December 2011, a ruling by the Justice Department basically said, hey, the position that everybody has been taking on online gaming is really relevant to sports wagering, which gave green light to New Jersey to go live. And then we had the 2018 Supreme Court ruling, and then we had the reversal of that last year. So there's been a lot of back and forth. But really, when you think about it, that like any other game of chance, online gaming is, especially in the U.S., is set aside for casino operators and staff gaming establishments and in some cases state lotteries to provide those kinds of games. I don't understand why the industry has been looking at it so negatively. Now, in the early days, like 20 years ago, that was a little bit understandable. But over the years, it's proven that it's a different product. It works. And it provides additional revenues. It provides things that really a land-based casino cannot provide, which is the situation where people can sit at the comfort of their home, to place a wager on a sporting event or on a game, and there is absolutely no reason that the industry should not adopt it. For example, in the current situations with New York and California, where they're against doing sports wagering online and mobile, I think that's the wrong attitude, because all they're doing is really opening up opportunities for other people, especially illegal operators, to take advantage of this vacuum which casinos and operators provide. There is no reason to look for protections through legal barriers. I think the attitude should be, hey, if I'm competing with my competition with building better properties, I should do the same thing with online. I should build better online and mobile wagering systems, and that's how I should compete with other legal operators and a way to keep the illegal operators out. So I think this was like a reset button. You know, when you're working on your computer and computer goes, you know, slows and there's some issues and so forth, all of a sudden, you know, it just dies and forces you to reset. I hope this is a wake-up call for everybody to, all the stakeholders, to get behind this situation where they look at online gaming and generally gaming technologies to be the way of the future for casinos. We've seen overall the slot machines revenues going down. We've seen table games really haven't changed in, I don't know, 100 years. So I think it's about time that casinos take advantage of new technologies which has been developed and use that for the future of gaming. We all know engaging in a gaming activity is in our DNA, and historically people have always been engaged in some kind of a gaming. It's up to the industry to provide the next generation of games that improves the quality of the game and on the business and the player engagement.
Sure, that's no question about that. So let's talk about even before the crisis, with the spread of legal sports betting, people were getting used to betting on their mobile devices. Do you think that even before the crisis that there was a kind of a trend toward eventually online gaming will get legalized?
Yeah, but again, I think there is still some a little bit of misconception about providing gaming outside the casino, that there would be, you know, some kind of a competition or scenarios where people don't come to a casino. I think it's a different product. Online gaming is a different product, and especially sports wagering. I mean, why would you want to not offer in-play wagering where people can sit at the comfort of their home and place a wager on a game they're watching, and you want to force them to come to a casino?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things we've seen in New Jersey is, you know, there's a lot of concern that online gaming would cannibalize the land-based gaming aspect, but that really hasn't happened in New Jersey. In fact, more people are coming to the casinos because they first learn how to gamble online. Is this something that you see spreading across the other states in the same manner?
I believe it's the same thing. It's been the same thing everywhere. They are two different products. In fact, online gaming should actually enhance the land-based operation of a casino. It could be used as a marketing tool as well as another source of revenue. And I think by providing new technologies and adopting them, the gaming opportunities would tremendously increase. I mean, look at every device which is in a casino is actually supplied by the operator, so nobody is using their system inside the casino. Now, with this COVID-19 situation, there is a lot of, and I'm sure, you know, it will go away over time, But initially, there's going to be a lot of, concerns about touching things, especially chips and slot machines. And however you sanitize the chips and the devices, you know, still there's going to be a concern for some period of time. So allowing people to use their mobile devices for different activities, both inside and outside the casino, it brings tremendous new opportunities for the industry, which they've never looked at. And I think this situation where every casino is now shut down in the U.S., it could be a reality check that, hey, we really need to look at new things. Over the years, I have developed some IP for a new type of gaming activity, which I call hybrid gaming, where it uses the physical RNG, like deck of cards, as well as virtual RNGs, which are used in slot machines and online gaming, and creates a combination of two where players can use their own devices, like their own mobile devices and laptops, to participate on a live game with the same odds. And I think that could be potentially helping the industry in different shape and form, including with this coronavirus situation. The reason I developed this IP was, you know, over the years I saw table games, the labor increasing and the operators were trying to get players to have, to basically go with higher limits, but there's so much you can push that. Then they started taking away payouts, like in blackjack, you know, paying 1-to-1, sub 3.2, which really takes away some of the reasons that people would play and play games like blackjack. So by providing this new technology, people can use their device, casinos can increase the number of people who can play at the physical table because some people are using their own device. And then they can offer, minimum bet of 10 cents, 25 cents because people who are playing at the table, they are really, you can now increase the number of people to unlimited people who are participating at the table, other than, you know, maybe three people sitting at the table, to deal with this crisis we have right now. So now the casinos are offering games that are played at the table, and other people are playing remotely, whether they're outside or inside the casino. And by doing this, you create a human being face to the game and the trust, the fact that it's coming from the casino floor, if you're outside the casino.
Sure. iGamingPlayer.com was one of the first fully licensed affiliates in the New Jersey market. Through partnerships with all the major online casino, poker, and sports betting websites, iGamingPlayer has become one of the most trusted places where players visit before deciding where to gamble online. iGamingPlayer offers reviews of the online gaming sites, advice about how to play the games, odds and opinions on sports betting, and much more. Soon to be licensed in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Michigan, iGamingPlayer.com can make the difference between success and failure for new online casino, poker, or sports betting websites. For information on how to work with iGamingPlayer, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Now back to our podcast. Sure. Let me double back to something you said earlier. You're not in favor of blocking illegal casinos in states where online gaming is legal. Is that what you said?
No, I believe the internet has no boundaries. Uh-huh. And the only way you can combat illegal operators is to offer something better and safer to people. There is no doubt there is demand for it, right? Demand for people to play it from home. So if it's not offered legally by legal operators, people just play online. So I'm not saying we should let them. I'm saying you can't stop them.
Right. Okay.
The only way to do it is to do it legally and let casinos to actually compete with each other, which eventually means, you know, they are taking these guys out.
Right, but you're in favor of then trying to block them if it becomes legal in a state, because how can you compete with a business that doesn't pay any taxes? Where, you know, in some states, of course, the tax rate is humongous for online gaming. So you know, how can you compete even if you offer a better product if you're paying that kind of tax rate?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I totally agree. The tax impact provide some kind of leverage by illegal operators, but at the end of the day, people are also, you know, feel safer with playing with illegal operations. And some of the features that can happen legally, for example, with in-play and so forth, is not going to be as easy with these online operators. But when everything is up and running, they should be all, you know, they should be attacked from different directions.
Okay.
That's for sure.
So how do you think the industry should approach the states about the legalization of iGaming? What should their arguments be?
Well, the argument is really simple. That's people have talked about it for years, that the demand is there. Why not just provide it legally and tax it, and so that the illegal operators cannot find a way to operate. I'm in favor of stopping them, but what I'm saying is stopping them is not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not, and we've seen that happen in Canada where they've tried, they just made them illegal, but they had no really enforcement arm to keep them out.
Right. Yeah. So it's a combination of providing the system, the service, as well as, you know, taking enforcement action.
Right, okay. So we've seen, you know, now that the there's no sports going on, and you know, sports betting is basically non-active in this country and around the world for that matter. How are online casinos, the actually casino part of it, responding to that? Are they offering new kinds of deals, bonuses, promotions, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think everybody's trying to adjust accordingly, and now we've seen esports and virtual sports are getting some traction. That's probably another thing good for people who provide those kind of services. But I think this situation is temporary, and when things are back up again, I think sports wagering would thrive way, way beyond what we have right now.
Right. Well, we know in Europe that sports betting is certainly the majority of the online betting. But has online gaming in Europe, online casino in Europe, surged at this time as well?
I think we've seen this in the U.S., where online casinos are basically the only thing in New Jersey on the East Coast. So they're doing well, and I believe yes, that's the case. People are at home. And if they're not able to bet on, let's say, a soccer match, chances are they're playing on a slot machine or an online game. Yes, I believe that's the case.
Sure.
I don't have any numbers, but I believe that's the impression I'm getting, that the industry is compensating their loss of revenue from the sports on other activities.
Right, no question. So you mentioned esports, and Nevada has just legalized betting on an esports league for the first time. You know, Nevada and New Jersey have both allowed betting on individual esports events, but this is the first time regulatory body has legalized it for an entire league. Do you see this as a trend for the future as well?
I think it, especially with the millennials, I think that's the case. That's another thing with this reset button. I think basically, it creates this environment, people realizing, hey, we can't just continue like ever, you know, like we've done in the past. Things are changing, and we need to move on with the changes.
Right. So as you see the legalization of iGaming, you know, spread across the country, do you believe there's going to be more of those multi-state compacts so that you can play across state lines?
We know that three estates, how long ago was it, 7-8 years?
It's been a few years now, yeah.
We know Nevada, New Jersey, and Delaware, they signed a compact, which was a general compact.
Right.
But it was designed for poker.
Right.
So I think, and I always believed, I mean, and I'm not a lawyer, but I always believed that compact can be basically signed by other states and doesn't need to be redone or substantially redone. So I believe, especially when it comes to sports wagering, because right now everything is on a state-by-state basis and things are not the way it should be because, you know, wagering and bets and odds are fluent and you can't just localize it. So I believe there'll be, again, this will be another situation is that regulators and the states have to come together and work on a way that really benefits for everyone, because otherwise everybody would lose out.
Sure.
With the sports wagering where there is no connectivity between the operators between different states and it could be misused by bad actors.
Sure. So do you believe New Jersey is still provides the best lessons for iGaming thus far? Over, of course, there's only a few states. We've got Connecticut and Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Nevada. But do you think New Jersey still has the best model that states can emulate?
I believe that they've been extremely brave to start this process, and now they're at the forefront of the adding technology to gaming and taking advantage of all the avenues. I believe they provide the best model right now that others should follow. And I have no doubt there are ways to improve it, but right now I think they've done a fantastic job.
Great. Well, I hope other states follow this lead and the industry will realize that, you know, they got to have iGaming up and running in case this ever happens again. Hopefully it will never happen again, but you never know. But I think they see the certainly the possibilities of online gaming. So, Bruce, thanks for joining us and explaining that to us. And hopefully, you know, it'll come down the road sooner than
later.
Get this love on track. You're my one intended consequence of love.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the affiliate marketing site players trust when deciding where to gamble online. For information on how your online or social casino, sportsbook, or poker room can get involved, visit iGamingPlayer.com. To learn more about online gaming, visit GGBMagazine.com. Get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates. Subscribe for free to ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today, and we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.